Great, thank you so much. Considering the time limitation, I might talk a little fast so that I can answer some questions. But yes, I will be talking about using online surveillance to characterize media health event reporting in Nepal. And I have no relationships to disclose. So since we all have a public health background here, we probably all recognize the importance of health communication in impacting a community, impacting also the individual. But the Department of Health and Human Services defines health communication as the study and use of communication strategies to inform and influence individual and community decisions that enhance health. So probably if I was to take a poll, several of our kind of job tasks involve health communication. So when you think about how the general public consumes health information and then impacts their own individual behavior, there are many different sources of health information out there. Probably the oldest one is interpersonal communication, where our family and friends impact our health behaviors. But also traditional media, and we were actually mentioning this earlier, traditional media, when looking at print, newspapers, magazines, billboards, radio, television, they actually provide a great method for risk communication, for health communication in general, in order to impact a community or an individual. And so that has been a traditional form of relaying health information. Obviously, with the advent of the internet, things have changed, and especially with the increase of social media and social networking, a lot of people get their health information from their family and friends on Facebook or on Twitter. And that kind of makes some public health professionals squirm, right? Because, you know, we're not in control of that. But yeah, so there's different sources of health information. So I focus on traditional media. So looking at newspapers, especially print media. So looking at newspapers and how they convey information. And so for many years, obviously, we would have a print newspaper where, a public health professional or even a health journalist would write about a particular outbreak or a particular health condition, and that would relay information, you know, to the general public. Now, that's kind of being phased out, right, with the internet. A lot of print newspapers are actually developing their own online news portals where they take their print articles and post them online, and so basically they're fighting over readership, trying to gain more readership through that avenue. And so that's actually, I'm an epidemiologist by training, and that's really exciting news for us. If epidemiology is, the definition of it is studying the distribution and determinants of disease in a population, right? We can actually harness digital data in order to figure out what's happening in the population, right? And so it provides us a novel way to get health information in order to figure out what's going on. And so a lot of research has come out using digital epidemiology. We've looked at search engine queries, right, and saw how it can be a better predictor of flu in a community. Also, mobile-based applications have really changed research in general in public health. Social networks, looking at tweets in order to understand what's happening with the health of the community. And the part that I love the most is looking at online news media, news articles that are posted online in order to figure out what's happening in a particular community or in a developing country. So not only do we have this digital data that we can analyze, but also it provides us a new avenue to reach the community. And that really has to deal with risk communication. And so that brings me to Nepal. So my focus is international health. Nepal is a beautiful country. It has 26.5 million people. It is landlocked between China and India, and it is considered a least developed country. It's ranked 145th of 187 countries on the Human Development Index. And the Human Development Index is created based upon three factors: life expectancy, education status, and standard of living. So Nepal is a very unique country, rich with culture, rich with biodiversity, especially for people who are interested in ecosystem health. But it is also a country that has large amounts of poverty and malnutrition. So looking at the Nepali media, in order to understand kind of the state of Nepali media right now, you really need to understand the history of the country. So it did transition from a monarchy to a democracy in 1990. in 1992, a new communication policy came out, which really provided a little bit more freedom to the press than what was there before. And because of that, there has been a huge thriving presence of traditional media. So again, newspapers. So just some numbers to throw out. There's over 300 daily newspapers, over 1,500 weekly newspapers, also close to 500 radio stations, over 35 television stations. So there's really a huge thriving traditional media presence now in Nepal. And with these bigger broadcast stations, bigger newspapers, they are actually pushing more information online as well. So some of the bigger newspapers don't just have, you know, the print in circulation, but also have online news portals. And so that really is promising in my area of research because it provides more potential to study health event reporting, more potential to understand exactly what's happening in the community. And so the research purpose was to characterize the status of Nepali health event reporting from a One Health perspective. Not only that, also see what's making it to the global disease detection stage. Because ultimately, if we say, you know, it's better to recognize an outbreak in country, have the capacity in country to do it, but ultimately sometimes we don't recognize outbreaks until it gets to the global stage. You know, a good example would be SARS, right? Then ultimately I wanted to see, okay, well, what kind of articles were making it to that global stage. So methodology, how many of you have heard of HealthMap? Very cool. Okay, that's awesome. So HealthMap is an internet-based surveillance system. It takes, it aggregates a lot of web-based data sources. It brings in a bunch of different articles from all of these different web-based sources and visually displays them on a map, and you can actually see outbreaks that may be occurring near you. Okay, so it's a really cool digital surveillance platform. And so what we did, we got the data from HealthMap, and we looked at all the Nepali health events recorded from October 2013 to December 2014. We did that 14-month period because we really wanted to capture any type of changes that may occur during like monsoon season and stuff like that. So we wanted to include it for longer than a year. So we basically read every single article that was inputted into HealthMap, and we categorized different variables in order to come up with kind of a descriptive statistics of each one. So we looked at event location. We looked at administrative regions in Nepal. There's five. And then we also looked at what zones they're in. There's 14. We wanted to see what type of disease conditions were being reported, and also the One Health application. So did this report focus on human only, animal only, environment only, or some combination thereof? And then also we wanted to see, okay, well, if it focused on humans and animals, what were the primary species? Obviously humans, or did they look at goats, cows, wildlife, you know, so we wanted to see what was going on there. We also wanted to kind of categorize the report nature. What was the health event that was being reported? Was it an active outbreak, so confirmed cases? Or was it a warning, like risk events? You know, because of this, then you are at higher risk for getting this. And then also informational. So we know about health information articles that just convey education information. And so also we wanted to see, was this a unique event? Was it a unique report? We wanted to exclude duplicate reports. And also, who's doing the reporting? Where did the media come from? Was it newspaper, government, or NGO bulletin? Was it an individual, or was it a trade website or a blog? And then ultimately, we wanted to really see, is there a difference in reporting characteristics between sources that come from in-country, in Nepal, domestic sources, or was it different from international origin? So something we looked at. So we did exclude all the duplicate reports. And let me tell you a little bit about duplicate reports. So basically, if a newspaper publishes an article and then somebody retweets it, then it looks like it would be two reports when you pull the data out. And so we just wanted to say, okay, well, we only wanted to count this as one, though it would be really interesting to study retweets and stuff like that. Basic descriptive statistics, we wanted to look at ends and percentages in order to come up with a comprehensive picture of the association between the variables and the event source origination, domestic versus international source, using Fisher's Exact with some visualization using ArcGIS. And so what we ended up finding was during that 14-month time period, there were 181 reports extracted from HealthMap. Two reports were ultimately excluded because it happened outside of the Nepali borders. It didn't have to actually do with Nepal. So we ended up, after excluding duplicate reports, we ended up with 108 unique reports. And ultimately, those 108 unique reports reported on 51 unique events. Okay, so you can just think about there's one cholera outbreak and multiple journalists reported on the same event. Okay. And so looking at the top five reported disease conditions, cholera was number one. There were a lot of reports on that. Avian influenza was second. There was a couple of avian influenza outbreaks in domestic poultry during that time. Dengue, we combined diarrhea and gastroenteritis, and we combined Hep B or E or a non-specific jaundice reporting, and those were the top five. So when you look at the One Health event report representation, you can see the areas that are grayed out. There were actually, we didn't pick up any articles that talked about environment alone, such as like deforestation or climate change. We didn't see that, and we also didn't see any type of overlap between animal and environment. Now, if you're a One Health professional, this is kind of painful, right? But ultimately, we did get reports from animal only, human only, the intersection between human and environment and human and animal. We did get One Health article. So when we were reading through all the articles, we saw the environment, the human, and the animal represented, and it was great. So looking at the numbers real quick, 43% was human only, human and environment were 34%, animal was 20%. So we had two stories that looked at the intersection between human and animals. That was a Japanese encephalitis case or outbreak in pig farmers. And then the other one was there was an outbreak of foodborne illness eating a sick chicken in a village. And then so we got the One Health article, and I'll talk about that some more. So looking at it visually, actually the largest number of cases or health event reports came out of the central and the eastern development regions of the country, which is not really a surprise because the central and eastern regions have the highest population density. It includes the capital of Kathmandu, and also the eastern region has pretty big cities there. So when comparing domestic versus international sources using the Fisher's Exact Test, there were statistically significant differences across all different reporting characteristics. So in domestic sources, they were more likely, sources in Nepal, reporting from Nepal, they were more likely to report active outbreaks, whereas international sources tended to report a wider variety of those informational or warning reports. Now the cool thing about domestic sources is they covered a greater area, a greater region of the country, whereas international sources were really focused on that central region with Kathmandu, which is probably not a surprise. Domestic sources were more likely to report human-only stories, but international sources, because HealthMap picks up FAO and OIE bulletins, they were more likely to report on those avian influenza articles. And then domestic sources came from big English language newspapers in country. International sources came from the public bulletins. Now, key findings. Let's talk about this One Health article. So there was pesticide exposure, was the One Health article. It was talking about kill off of bee colonies in the area, in agricultural areas. And it talked about how it impacted bees, how pesticide exposure impacted the environment, and also looked at how pesticide exposure impacted the human. So when we saw that, we were like, oh, this is awesome. This is a really great comprehensive write-up. We did find that there was variation in reporting even with the same outbreak. So for example, if you had a cholera outbreak, One Health journalist was really, I was making it easy for you. So One Health journalist may write about cholera from a human-only perspective and didn't recognize the impact of the environment in the area, whereas the another health journalist reporting on the same cholera outbreak would talk about increased rainfall or maybe defecation upstream or something like that. So it brought, you know, one journalist could bring in the environmental aspect of a cholera outbreak. But obviously, there was a clear gap in reporting from the environmental perspective, And we were so shocked that all the animal-only articles dealt with domesticated animals, and there was no mention of wildlife. And so that was kind of, you know, even though animals were represented, were they really represented in the context of, you know, the environment, or in the context of all animals? So limitations and strength. So Health Map supports 15 languages, including all the official UN languages, but not the Nepali language. So if a newspaper was to only report in the Nepali language, then it wouldn't be picked up from Health Map. Okay. Also, it's highly reliant on any news aggregators that it uses. So if Google News doesn't pick it up, if ProMed Mail doesn't pick it up, Health Map's not going to pick it up. So it's only as good as the aggregators it relies on. And we in no way believe that these 100 articles represent all health event articles in the country. These were just the ones that actually made it to the global disease detection stage, okay, which is still very important, right, if that's how people recognize what's going on in the country. Now, some of the cool things about the research is and especially about Health Map, is it reaches a global audience in near real time, so you don't have to wait for a surveillance system to release its data. It takes advantage of multiple sources, so it doesn't just rely on Google News. And the coolest thing is Health Map is really awesome in bringing in the One Health concepts, because they don't just focus on humans. Health Map brings in animal diseases as well as environmental conditions. So moving forward, this was a preliminary research for us because we just wanted to get a feel for what was happening in Nepal through health event reporting. But in a couple of months, we're actually going to be surveying Nepali journalists in order to better understand from their perspective how they report health events, who they contact for sources and all that. From there, we're actually going to hopefully put on some One Health workshops so that we can introduce the concepts to the journalists so that they can better report and have knowledge, capacity building essentially, have knowledge of the One Health concept so it influences their reporting. And obviously, we had started this research prior to the Nepali earthquakes of 2015, but it would be super interesting to look at communication through the media in times of disaster, and so that's something that we are certainly working towards. So real quick, truly a One Health approach that improves health event reporting is needed on a global scale, not just in Nepal. A greater awareness of the role of the environment is needed, livestock, wildlife, especially when it comes to human disease emergence. So I'm interested in emerging infectious diseases, so obviously that's a really important concept. Increased communication and collaboration between journalists and health professionals across all sectors is important, and I think that's really a main tenet of One Health as well. And increased number of media outlets reporting health events with not just a focus on quantity, okay, so we're not just looking at numbers, but also quality of reporting, and I think that's really important. So I'd like to acknowledge my team from the Medical College of Georgia, Stephanie and Jeff. They're amazing. Our in-country collaborators from the Center for Molecular Dynamics, Nepal, Debase and Samir, they really helped us out. Like, for example, if we couldn't get access to one particular article, they were out there getting it for us, so it was great. Samiko and John from Health Map, amazing to work with. David from UC Davis is a partner in the looking at risk communication, and so definitely it was a team effort. So sorry to talk so fast, but I'm open for any questions, or you can contact me later.
Please hold your questions. We're trying to save some time, at least 10 minutes at the end, for questions for Dr. Swin. So we're going to move on to our next speaker. But thank you. Okay, next is a cluster of Shigatoxin producing, E. coli, associated with a suburban daycare and petting farm in Michigan by Veronica. I had some coaching here. Fialkowski?
Yeah.
All right. She's a CDC CSTE applied EPI fellow in the zoonotic disease section at the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. Her main focus is for the fellowship is in implementing and evaluating a healthcare provider education campaign on Lyme disease, and she received her MPH and EPI from the University of Colorado. And prior to the fellowship, she worked on a CDC MRSA project and influenza-associated hospitalization surveillance projects at the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. So let's welcome Veronica.